From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
So here we are, the second last day of March, and eagerly waiting the April showers that will bring May flowers. Man, oh man, it's been a long time coming. I don't know about you, but this has been the winter from hell for me, and one where I was unable to get to my snowmobile, even though we had tons of snow here in the nation's capital. A minor stroke on the first day of November did it in for me, but as I told you here recently, I've already visited my fishing boat, and I should be good for that if the ice in the Rideau system ever melts. Spring may have sprung, but who'd know? Here in Ottawa, the snowbanks along the side streets are still a mile high and the potholes a mile deep. What's it cost me this year just for the car? Well, I've had two side view mirrors clipped off the driver's side because the snow had narrowed the street so much. And then a woman, distraught that she had lost her father, got out the wrong side of her taxi cab, and the taxi's door ripped the wheel skirts off my Jeep. Is still in the auto body shop waiting for an insurance adjuster to show up and assess the damage and the cost. Yes, it's been that kind of a winter. Still, excitement is about to break out here in Ottawa when everyone shows up to celebrate the Tulip Festival of all things. Yes, some cities have their stampedes, and Ottawa has, yes, a Tulip Festival. I wait for it, of course, with bated breath. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Happy camper.
That's right, kids. Time to go camping. Yes, camping. There's nothing wrong with camping this time of year. In fact, our next guest will tell you there's nothing wrong with camping any time of year. He's the happy camper. That's why. Expert wilderness canoeist and camper. Joining us now, the happy camper, Kevin Callan. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, buddy.
This always makes me happy because we go from something really sad from Mark and then all of a sudden, happy camper, yeah!
That's right, baby. last time we spoke to you, Kevin, you were out west. You were a keynote speaker at a conference in Alberta. And then I see that since you've been publishing books, another book.
I gotta stop. This is book 18.
Like, okay, so there's got to be some sort of a connection with you spending time in the woods by yourself camping and authoring books. There's got to be a connection there. Is that what you're doing all these days that you're spending out in the wilderness?
You know, that's a good question because I do a lot of my writing out there, especially when I'm on solo trips. I think everybody has a certain time where they do their best, right? I mean, it's really nice to sit around the fire with a dram of whiskey and write a story.
Oh, it's the best. I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing right now, as a matter of fact. Speaking of right now, have you been out much camping this winter?
I got out a lot this winter. It was a really good winter for winter camping. I know everybody's complaining about the winter, and I'm waiting for the spring, too, because I can't wait to go to Algonquin and get some brook trout. But it was a really good winter for hauling in a toboggan and sleeping in a hot tent. And I got to say, the amount of snow, though, we had a lot of slush on the lake, so hauling a freight toboggan across the lake can be a little challenging at times, but yeah, I'm glad to see it's over though. I think it's great to live in Canada where you got four seasons and changes all the time.
That's a common theme apparently this year, slush on the ice, even up in the Kenora district on Lake of the Woods. I know the doc's been complaining about it for at least a couple of months now, so something to do obviously with our up and down temperatures, but glad we made it through for sure. Now talk to me about this book. This epic canoe journey through Algonquin Park.
Yeah, I did this trip 5 years ago when I turned 50. And I had this, you know, you got to do something when you're 50, because something epic, right? So I looked at this route, and it's designed by Algonquin Outfitters. It goes around Algonquin, and it connects all six watersheds. It's 420 kilometers long, 55 lakes, six rivers, three upstream, and about 102 portages add up to 68 kilometers of portaging.
Stop. Did you just say, hold it, did you just say 162 portages?
102 that add up to 68 kilometers of portaging, yeah.
Oh, my
God. It's crazy. It's stupid. Don't ever do it. It was a stupid idea.
Oh my God. We used to do a trip that had three portages, and it was more than epic. I mean, it was monumental, and not many people back then were even daring to do such a trip. I can't even imagine what you did. I can't even imagine it. Wow.
Yeah, not many people do that. Now, the fun part was my buddy Andy went with me, and he's like the Red Skeleton of the canoe world, right? And so he doesn't really plan much. He lets me plan. And then so I just picked him up, and we started up the Big East River, which is usually where people bail. That's usually where people give up, right? So 4 days walking up this river. He's like, where are we going? I went, we're going around Algonquin. He didn't even look at the map.
My mind is racing here right now, trying to, I'm connecting my old trips to the one you just did, which obviously is a joke, but I'm trying to think of how you would cope with things like food. There's no way that you could prepare to bring in enough food to sustain yourself for that long a period. So I'm assuming that what you brought in for food was a knife and a skillet.
No, I'm smart. I love eating good food and having good whiskey out there. So what I did is I did three food drops along the way. Ah. So I'd mail a box of food up to like Brent at Cedar Lake. And then when I got there, it was there. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. This trip is getting really, really interesting. I can't make this stuff up, okay? So what happens is we do the food drops. Now, a lot of people do this as a race. A lot of young people. I'm not young.
Right.
And the record is 7 days. We did it in 3 weeks, right? So they think it's unethical to do food drops, and that you should do it as a race. Of course, whatever, I'm not going to do that. So a bunch of people got really upset on social media. They called me the Lucifer of Algonquin because I was cheating. And I go, no, they're just not cheating. It's actually being smart. So when I got to the second food drop, someone, and later on I found out who it was, had stolen my whiskey out of my food drop.
No.
Yeah. And that's evil. Like, right?
Yeah.
So I went out on social media and I said, for the love of God, someone help us. We're going to die out here. So all these paddlers start paddling in with whiskey to deliver us.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're on the Crow River portage, and there's a sign saying, way to go, Kevin Annie, keep going. And there was a flask of whiskey under the tree. So.
Okay, I want to hear the highlight of the trip and the low point of the trip.
Well, I'll start with the low point. We were on the Nipissing River, which I love because it's full of brook trout, right? But it's also full of mosquitoes. The bugs were brutal. It was in early June. And Andy said, you know, I think we should just give up. This is stupid. So we were looking at the map trying to figure out what to do. And then this snapping turtle we watched because I had nothing to do that night. We were just in the bug shelter drinking whiskey. And this snapping turtle was moving up in the bank. And it took him 26 minutes to get to the top. And we're like, that's the entertainment. And then he tripped and fell on himself and rolled all the way back down. So and he goes, I think we should continue. And I said, why? He goes, well, we don't have the life of that poor buddy turtle. So we continued on. I think the highlight was when we finished, we came around the corner in Huntsville, and there's like 300 people on the dock, helicopters flying. And I thought, hey, are people here to meet us? No, it wasn't. It was the bathtub race was going on in Huntsville. And so we finished our trip by paddling through the bathtub race.
What a fitting way to end your trip, I'm telling you. Fantastic. Wow, what a journey. And you wrote this all down, and now you've published a book so people can enjoy. Obviously, do it vicariously through you, because not many of them are crazy enough to try it on their own, for sure.
Yeah, well, the book is more about the trip itself is in the book, but I also talk about the history of the park, the history of the watersheds, what's happening in the park now, what's happening to the fisheries in the park. And I'm a big brook trout angler, so it's all about the brook trout. And, it's a good story.
How was it, by the way? How was the fishing?
Holy jumping. Friggin' amazing. Like, the lower Crow. Now, what was happening, it was a weird year. They weren't hitting at first on the Nipissing. I got a few. By the time I got to the Crow, the dragonfly nymphs were hatching up, and oh my God, I don't know how many brook trout I caught. It was just unbelievable. If you go to Casey Happy Camper YouTube channel, the whole trip is in a series of videos. I think it's the fourth or fifth one. There's a scene of me catching brook trout on the Crow, and you won't believe it.
Wow. Any big fish along the way?
Yeah. We actually, I got to say the Crow was the best for big ones, but we're catching 2 or 3 pounds, just bang, 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 bang like that. So now the reason why is so hard to get to. That's the whole thing. those trout are in there because it's so difficult to get to. And the idea of when you get them, you deserve it, right? You've done all that work, and then you deserve the big brookies.
Absolutely. Any encounters with wildlife other than brookies?
A moose that wouldn't leave our campsite. We were really late on the nipissing, and we went to make camp around 9 at night. So we're like, oh, geez, come on, moose, get off the campsite. And we're trying to get him off the campsite so we can put the tent up. And he just pees right on the tent spot.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
What does this look like? Yeah, too bad for you.
Wow. You know, I speak for everybody listening that has ever attempted or completed a trip like, not like yours, but a portage trip. Wow. We're absolutely amazed. Yes, 7 days would have been nice if you could have done it in a short period of time. But I think people who do a trip like that, you know, as a race, I don't think they're even getting it.
Not enjoying it.
No.
They're not getting it. It's a total different experience than what Kevin just did.
You know? Yeah, hats off to them for doing it, but that's not me. I'm not a type A personality. I want to go into the wilderness for the longest period of time for the most amount of enjoyment. I don't go there to go racing through it. And I think that's what happened is I was kind of doing a social media thing and media thing along the way. I wasn't poking fun at these people. I was just trying to prove to them that actually you should look at it in a different way. And these people got upset and they said, well, you know, you should do it as a race. Well, why? Well, why are you trying to race through the wilderness?
That's insane. Where can folks get the book?
It's on everywhere, like Amazon, Friends of Algonquin, Algonquin First has it. And it's self-published this time. It's my first book self-published, so it's kind of cool.
Oh, good for you. What's it called?
Once Around Algonquin, An Epic Canoe Journey.
Once Around Algonquin, An Epic Canoe Journey, available on Amazon and every place else where they sell good books. His name is Kevin Callan. Kevin, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin Callan, go check him out, kevincallan.com. That's kevincallan.com. Interesting story.
Cool.
Would you ever attempt anything like that?
I'm going to research it because I love the outdoors and I love doing stuff like that. But the long period of time, I'm not quite sure.
See, there's two reasons you would do a trip like that. One of them would be the reason that Kevin does it, because he truly enjoys he wants to be outdoors. He wants to sleep under the stars. That's what he does. He does that for a living, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the other reason you would do that, I think, to push yourself, to test yourself, to drive yourself, to answer questions about yourself, because you truly will be asking a lot of questions on a trip like that. Mostly, what the hell am I doing here? Right?
Just like they did.
It's fabulous. Good for him.